The Apostle Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, he gave us new birth to a living hope." On behalf of Steeple Claydon Methodist Church, may I welcome you to this occasion when we gather to celebrate the life of Marian Judith Gardiner. I think that I can safely say that by some distance, this is the largest service I have taken in this place, the first time I've known an overflow room out the back. We're sorry to those of you out the back that you can't see us in here, but it was a bit too late to knock a hole in the wall. But I think that says something about the esteem and affection in which Marian was held and the influence that she has had among us. And we'll hear more about that as the service goes on. We've already committed Marian's body to the Lord in a short service at Aylesbury Vale Crematorium, and now we come to give thanks for her life. Maybe to laugh, and that's fine. Perhaps to cry as we hear memories of her, that's also fine. We do come to this place with sadness because Marian is no longer with us in person, but we can also come with joy because the life that she shared with us and the legacy of love and friendship that she leaves. As I've said already at the crematorium, but I'll say again now, but Don, Helen, Toby, Andrew, Cass and Erin, and the wider family, our thoughts are especially with you at this time of loss, your loss of a wife, a mum, a grandma. And of course, others of us here are here because Marion was our friend. And we will all miss her. I was privileged to visit her home not long after she had passed, and it's very busy at such times, as I discovered. I was grateful for the opportunity to be there. But one of the other visitors was the district nurse who had met her, I think, the day before, and who described Marion as a force of nature. I think that sums it up pretty well, doesn't it, Don? Yeah. I think that is true, and such people leave a big gap in our lives when they go. And I pray that this service will help and be what Marion wanted, for she planned it, the hymns, the readings, and who would take part. And each of the hymns we'll sing are an expression of Marion's faith in God through Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not used to singing. You don't have to sing, but I'll invite you to stand for each of the hymns if you're able to do so, and to reflect upon the words, which you'll find in your song sheet, or looking over someone else's shoulder at their song sheet, perhaps. Whilst there's sadness in some of these hymns, particularly in the first one, there is also profound hope for life on the other side of death. And so I invite you now to stand if you're able, as we worship God through the words of the hymn, O love that wilt not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. Please be seated. And let us pray. Eternal God, the Lord of life, the conqueror of death, our help in every time of trouble. Comfort us who mourn. Give us grace in the presence of death to worship you, and enable us to put our whole trust in your goodness and mercy. We come to give thanks for your servant Marian, and we pray that this service will be just as she would have wanted it. And through what we shall hear about Marian in words of tribute and in words of hope from the scriptures, we pray that you will point us firmly towards yourself and towards the Saviour, Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen. We're going to have our first scripture reading now, which Marian's brother Alan is going to read to us.
There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Amen.
Both Helen and Andrew have prepared tributes to their mum, which they've asked me to read. And there's a few additions, Don, from yourself, and there will be later on as well. So firstly, I want to read from Helen, and I will read it pretty much as you gave it to me, Helen. And she starts by saying, I met Mum 52 years ago, 12th of October, 1971. I don't recall much until I found that my right foot was in plaster for my first 6 months. I can recall helping Mum with Meals on Wheels, which she collected from Calvert Brickworks. I then started at East Claydon First School before Andrew arrived in 1975. I can remember spending a couple of Christmases down at the farm where Dad worked. As I grew up, I started Brownies in Steeple Claydon, where Mum volunteerred as a leader, Tawny Owl. Then Mum went back into full-time work with Thames Valley Police. Don adds that she went from junior admin to court officer, and for 25 years she worked there, got her long service award, and was also responsible for supervising other staff. So plainly she did well and at what she did. She carried on with other work activities, including Women's Institute and Parish Council. As a child, I always think of the camping trips, nearly losing a tent in the wind and stopping at the side of the road to have breakfast, as we left so early to get to where we needed to be. Then there were visits to visit Uncle Alan and Auntie Audrey in Hounslow on Saturday afternoons, and them coming to us. Then I joined Thames Valley Police in 1991, as my mum said to apply for YTS, which I did for 2 years. We would almost meet for lunch and drive each other in. She decided to retire in 2009 and then was able to visit Andrew, Cass and Erin. Then she was happy that she was going to be a granny again when Toby arrived in August 2010, and she helped me with babysitting when I went back to work, and she would take him on day trips and to musical minis until he started school part-time, and she would be there for me for parents' evenings. We went for days out to Quainton Railway, Beaconscott, and trips to Buckingham Palace and Portsmouth. She was full of knowledge and where she worked in London. On a recent trip to Heathrow Airport, we made a detour to where Mum and Dad lived in Southall and her love of canal boating, which we did again one last year on the Grand Union Canal. She lived life to the full. She was sorry for being in hospital at the end of November. It was not her fault. It was her turn, not Dad's turn this time. She was always apologising for being in hospital and was hoping to be out for Christmas or New Year. She was always having a joke with nurses. That was her character. And she was pleased to be back home on the Friday and seeing everyone over the weekend. She will always be my mum, auntie, gangster granny, friend, a lovable character of the village and surrounding areas, to everyone who met her. And then from Andrew. In similar vein, he starts, I first met Mum about 49 years ago, 1st of January 1975. Needless to say, I don't remember a great deal of that day. Mum had taken a time away from work to raise Helen and I. Mum being Mum meant that this wasn't a full break. I remember sitting on the front seat of the newsagent's Morris Minor van as Mum and I delivered newspapers to the houses and farms of Middle Claydon. Mum took on a number of house cleaning jobs. I used to accompany her to those, possibly being as helpful as a three-year-old could be. Eventually, I went to school in East Claydon. Some parents used to volunteer to ferry children during school activities off-site. I remember being in convoy. I was in a seat facing backwards out of the back of a Talbot Rancho. As I glanced up, I could see our red Toledo, Mum at the helm, skidding towards us at speed. Thankfully, Mum managed to steer the car at the last moment and avoided us and me. Lots of hugs and apologies followed. I just thought it was great fun. We lived in East Claydon. We never had much money, but Mum and Dad always strived to give us the best. My childhood in East Claydon was fantastic. All the parents played their part, looking after, ferrying, feeding, caring for each other's kids. Mum was very much part of that. And as one friend wrote, East Claydon has lost a legend. Mum was the self-proclaimed judge, jury, and executioner. This was very much the case. Thankfully, I never received justice at the end of a saucepan, like Cousin Keith did during one visit. Lucky escape. Mum was always fair, but crossing the line was to be avoided. Holidays were generally trips to Swanage to see Nan and Grandad, or we'd go camping in Devon or Cornwall. I remember Mum livening up one supper time by falling backwards off her chair and wiping out the sleeping quarters. We laughed for hours at that one. We then graduated to canal boat holidays, definitely a passion of both Mum and Dad's. Eventually, I left for university. I came back a few years later. I lived close by. We would visit most weekends, taking turns with Sunday supper, catching up with events, etc. Mum would always produce a tasty Sunday roast. When Erin came along, we had moved to Wales. Mum was instantly smitten and was the most doting grandmother, always on hand, always keen to visit. Nothing was too much trouble, and Erin and Mum had a really lovely bond. Occasionally, we'd post on social media, and Mum would always leave a comment. Maybe that's the positive of social media. These memories and comments will be delivered again to us yearly, and we laugh, cry, and generally reminisce about that moment of our life. After COVID, we had some further family canal holidays, Mum still very sprightly. We gasped as she leapt off the boat onto the bank, fell, rolled, and quickly got up. I think she thought she was 26, not 76. Death came too quickly. We were at a party in Oxford in early November. Mum and Dad were there, lots of familiar faces. From East Claydon were there. Such a great event. Not long after she was diagnosed, The bravery, courage, good humour with which she faced the disease was inspirational. By the end, she was at home. She still managed a joke or two. She planned the funeral. Even at the end, she was thinking of everyone else first. That's it. 50 years in 2 minutes. I promised there was much more than falling over and near crashes. She was funny, kind, caring, humble, self-deprecating, amazing judge of character, the best auntie, and amazing grandma, and a wonderful mum. Thank you for those words, which from people who knew her best of all. We're going now to sing another song. It's a modern version of Psalm 23, to which I referred at the crematorium. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. Where it says descant, that goes with the chorus. There may be some of you that know the descant to this. And if you do, please feel free to sing that descant. That's more for those who sing in a higher register than I do. So please stand if you're able. Please take a seat. We come to our second reading now, this time from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, beginning at the end of chapter 12 and going to the end of chapter 13. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Our first reading reminds us that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. And today we're recognizing those two boundaries and the life that Marian has had between them. And of course we would wish to have had more time, much more time with her. And yet rather than dwell on what might have been, we can celebrate what has been and all the good in Marian's 78 years of life. I always thought that Marian was a Southall girl, and then I learnt that she was born in Tetbury in Gloucestershire. Had I known, I would have teased her for being posh. Posher than Southall, anyway. The reality, though, is that Marian did grow up in Southall, and she was a very down-to-earth individual, wasn't she? It was at King's Hall Methodist Church Youth Club in Southall that Mary and Don first became aware of each other as part of a larger group of young people. However, Don told me, it took a game of postman's knock to bring them together. Apparently, they were both at a party organised by Don's cousin, and they ended up in the front room together. And at the end of the evening, Don asked if he could walk Marian home. And clearly she said yes. Love took its course and they married at King's Hall on 7th of October 1967. And they set up home together in this area to which Don had already moved as a farm worker. And of course, out of their marriage came many good things, not least their children, Helen and Andrew, and later welcoming into the family Cass and Erin and Toby, their grandchildren, all surrounded by love. And perhaps all of this was in Marian's mind as she chose the second reading for our service from 1 Corinthians 13. And effectively, the reading, and I summarise here, says, if I do anything at all, but have not love, I gain nothing. And then goes on to say, love is patient, love is kind. When I read that phrase, love is patient, it made me stop and think. Marian and I used to banter, as I suspect she did with a lot of you. She would call me Timbo. I would call her Mazza. And wouldn't you just know it, as I drove out of the crematorium earlier, I found myself behind a car with the registration plate that started with Maz. Even now, she seems to be having the last laugh. But as I called her Mazza, she would feign impatience and make wisecracks about the length of my sermons. Too long, that is, not too short, be warned. I always knew, though, that she did it because I was a friend, and she knew I could take it. And in turn, I did my best to give back as good as I got, because she was a friend. The Bible tells us that God is love, And a well-known verse of Scripture, John 3:16, says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life. And Marian knew and believed in Jesus the Son. She knew the love that God gave to her, and she sought to show it in her acts of service to others. After her marriage to Don, she worshipped at St. Mary's East Clayton for some years. And later, she and Don came here, where they've been very much a part of chapel life for over 30 years. And Marian was not someone to stay on the edge of church life. She threw herself into serving in so many different ways. For over 20 years, she was senior steward in this church, overseeing many of the nuts and bolts of church life, and praying with preachers like me before the start of the services that we come to lead. She also became a circuit steward representing the four churches of the Buckingham section on the Bicester, Buckingham and Brackley circuit leadership team. And she became senior circuit steward on that team. Now, for those of you not familiar with Methodism, this is a big deal, carrying a lot of responsibility, and in this area that was serving eight churches, the larger group. She was a great support to my wife and me when we were looking for a new manse, having moved to Buckingham a few months earlier. And together and separately, we went looking at various houses in Buckingham. In the end, we narrowed it down to two possibilities, visiting each house with her about three times without making our minds up. Perhaps in the end, her patience did run out as we went away for a week's holiday, thinking, well, we'll come back and we'll make a decision when we get back. But about halfway through that holiday week, we got a message from Marian saying, "We've had an offer accepted on Catchpin Street. I hope you'll be very happy in the new Buckingham manse." We're a bit surprised to have had the decision made for us, but it was the right decision. And we are happy in it. Marian's role as senior circuit steward also involved being the key person in facilitating the appointments of new ministers. So you can see there was a lot involved. In addition to her time as a steward for church and circuit, Marian was a founder member and great supporter of Churches Together in the Claydons. And she helped to establish the monthly friendship lunches in the chapel here that have blessed so many of us over the years. She was involved in organising the annual World Day of Prayer service. She was part of our chapel volunteer team supporting the work of the local children's centre with administrative help, which involved putting thousands of termly programme sheets into envelopes to be delivered. She supported the chapel Bible study group and ran it if Katie was away. She helped run the forget-me-nots group and played a mean game, another one who played a mean game of Mexican train dominoes. She also greatly appreciated the house group run by Enid Hodges and found that her faith grew and developed as she attended. And if all that isn't enough, even at the end of her life, knowing what awaited her, she found time to plan this service, telling Katie to bring a stopwatch with the instruction, "Timbo has 5 minutes to speak. Make sure he doesn't go on." Well, good luck with that one, Mazza. But you shouldn't have provided me with so much to talk about. Love underpinned all that Marian did, and she was and is much loved among us. And like each one of us, she wasn't perfect, but she knew the God who is perfect, and she would want us to point to him and the love that he offers to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. And perhaps the greatest way in which we can honour Marian and her example is to seek to serve others even half as well as she did, and to explore the faith in Jesus Christ that she had, perhaps by trying a local church, getting out of our comfort zones and exploring the Christian faith, maybe attending something like an alpha course, to explore it further. At the end of our reading from 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." And for now, we can see glimpses of God in all sorts of things, including the life of Marian that we celebrate this afternoon. And I believe that Marian now sees her Father God face to face, in company with her Lord Jesus Christ. In that, in him, she put her faith, and in that we can find great hope that she is forever held safe in the love of God. May it also be so for us. Katie is going to come and read a poem that Marian requested for this time and also to lead us in prayers. Thanks.
The Life That I Have by Leo Marx. The life that I have is all that I have, and the life that I have is yours. The love that I have of the life that I have is yours and yours and yours. A sleep I shall have, a rest I shall have, yet death will be but a pause. For the peace of my years in the long green grass will be yours and yours and yours. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life, and we bring you our thanks for Marian, for the special person you created her to be, and for all that she has meant to us in so many different ways. We thank you for those memories of Marian, which we can keep with us as a source of comfort and continuing thankfulness. We thank you for all that she was to those who loved her. We thank you for her interest in people, her friendship and caring, her love of her family, her interests and abilities, her loyalty and laughter, her courage and cheerfulness, her feistiness and determination, and for her hard work and commitment to the life of this chapel and our Methodist circuit, and not forgetting her witness to the love of Christ, her Saviour. We thank you for what Marian has brought to those around her, especially her family and friends, and the ways that she has enriched our lives. We thank you for the special times shared, those moments that will live on in our minds as enduring memories, maybe bringing pain as we remember them now, but also making us smile. We thank you for the faith in you that Marian held, a faith which has given her strength, support, encouragement, and joy over the years. She was conscious of your guidance and presence in her life, and that same faith offers us support now. You have promised that those who mourn shall be comforted, and we know that family was extremely important to Marian. So we thank you for the memories that her family hold dear, of special family gatherings, holidays together, and everyday events from across those years. We pray that you will comfort the family members here today and those who are unable to come. Give them strength and all they need as they manage their grief in the coming days and weeks. We pray for Don, Helen, and Toby, Andrew, Cass and Erin, Alan and Brenda, and the wider family. We pray too for Marian's friends, many of whom are here today from different aspects of her life. We bring before you the sorrow we all feel at this moment. Support us in the days ahead until that time finally comes when we can look back not just with pain, but with thanksgiving not just with sorrow, but with joy. We know that for Marion, her faith was an important part of her, and she is now with you and all the saints in your heavenly kingdom, singing with gusto with the heavenly host, I am sure. Help us through her death to see more clearly the meaning of Marion's life and our own, and to grasp more firmly the hope that life is longer than our years, and the love you have shown us in Christ is stronger than death. Loving God, you are the creator, the giver of life, and in Jesus Christ you have given us a new life which nothing can destroy. In the resurrection of Jesus, you have shown us that the grave is not the end, but that your love holds us through all things. We thank and praise you for this hope based on the message of Easter and the life-giving power of your Spirit at work in your people. Give us confidence in the victory over death you have won through Christ, certainty that your kingdom will come, conviction that nothing will finally separate us from your love. And so may we find strength not just for today, but for tomorrow and all that the future holds. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the resurrection and the life. Amen. And let us say together the family prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power. Amen.
We come now to our closing hymn, and typically Marion has put her focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and on the salvation that he brings to all who come to him in trust, in faith. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? After this hymn, please remain standing for a blessing, and then please be seated and we can enjoy the final piece of music that will be played for us by Gwyneth. Thank you. And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.